Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
So we have a real treat for you this morning. As Luke alluded to, our Story Sunday today has a theme of fatherhood. And so we are going to hear from a wife whose husband and herself, they became parents at a young age, and she's going to share about how that was for her, watching her husband grow into the role of father and the obedience that took. We're going to hear from a young father who is going to share about the legacy that his father left him, and he is now raising his children. And then we're going to hear from a single mom who raised two boys, and how it has been from her perspective to watch them become fathers and raise their children well. So we have some really good people to hear from this morning, from good perspectives. So I'd first like to ask Carol to come. Carol is married to Tim. She's been married to Tim for 36 years. They have three adult daughters, Brittany, Brianne, and Jill. And they have a son-in-law by the name of Jared. And they've been attending here 6 years, so I'm going to let Jill take it away.
Carol.
You look so young, you could be Jill.
Oh, I don't think so. Thanks, Joanne. Tim and I met in our teens, and we dated for 3 years before we were married. In those 3 years, what I learned about Tim was that he loved the Lord with a faith that inspired me. He loved his parents and his family, and he quickly came to love mine as well. But there was one more love that filled his life, and that was his love of sports, and playing definitely more than watching. The first time he asked me out was to his team windup. And true. And watching Tim at a ball game or a hockey game was regularly considered date night. But he's made up for that, so no worries. I can say, because Tim's not here and I'm up here, I can say that he was, he played more than a few sports really well. And it's always fun to watch when someone plays really well, right? And I'll let you think about the other case scenario. When you play sports well, it gives you opportunities. So whether that was an offer to play hockey in the WHL, or that whether that was being asked to play as everyone's pickup for tournaments, because when you play well, then everybody else wants you to play well for them, besides his own teams and tournaments. It sometimes felt like our phone was always ringing, asking if Tim could come out to play. I'm not even joking. Because there was no texting in those days, right? He also played fast pitch for a number of years, eventually playing doubleheaders under the lights. He played with some great guys, and I was his biggest fan. The arrival of our first daughter came about 5 years after we got married, and Tim was an amazing dad. He was very hands-on. But when ball season came around, it did get harder for me to go to the games with a little one. But by the time Brittany was two, Tim got home from work one day. He had a really quick turnaround to eat and get his uniform on and get back out the door. But this time she followed him out the door, looked down the steps, and asked him not to go. It was actually adorable. But Tim looked like a deer in the headlights. He had to answer to someone besides me. No, just kidding. I actually didn't think much of it at the time, because realistically the night carried on and she was probably in bed in a half an hour. But within a day or so, Tim said to me, "That's it. This is my last season." He basically felt like, and this is just in a little nutshell, that I've had my time and now it's time for my family. And that's exactly what happened. He quit playing sports for about 8 years. And when he did start playing again, he joined some close buddies for late night hockey, and he made sure the kids were in bed before he left. When we're open to being led by the Holy Spirit, he provides opportunities like that for you to make choices, like new choices, or to make changes in your life. And I would say that Tim's relationship with the Lord from the time that I met him, allowed me to trust him with making those decisions in his life and in the life of our family. But how did that affect our family? I think for myself, I gained even more respect for him because we'd been together for about 10 years at that time. So I knew what a huge part sports played in his life. And, he made that decision when we had one little girl, and God blessed him with two more. He never waited for a son to validate his fatherhood. I used to hear people say more than one time, you'd make such a great, if you have a boy, you'll make such a great hockey coach. And seriously, and he, like, thankfully, he never waited for the son to be involved, like to be an involved dad. He believed wholeheartedly that each one of his children were a gift from the Lord. And how did his choices affect his relationship with the girls? I would say that he was present, intentional, and involved. I don't think he ever made them feel that he would rather be anywhere else, or that he never made it seem like he was rushing his time with them so that he could get to somewhere else. He became teacher and coach to his girls and taught them just about every sport you can think of. I was going to name a few, and the list was getting longer and longer, and then I was like, oh yeah, that one. Anyway, even though they grew up knowing that he never said no to sports where they were concerned, which he didn't, that was a thing in our house, he was just as involved in their other interests as well. He was known to have tea with them and still does. Our girls were never embarrassed to have their dad around. They'd often volunteer him when the teacher needed dad volunteers. They grew up never really doubting his availability or willingness to be there for them, whatever that looked like. He would always say, if I can make it work, I will. They were also known to wait on the front porch for him to come home from work or race each other to the door for the first hug when he came through the door. But more importantly was that with the investment of his time came relationship. And with relationship comes opportunities to speak into their lives on the good days and on the hard days. Whether it's a spiritual talk, as some of them call it, or just some great advice or a listening ear. And to this day, that has not changed. So when Tim and I think back and we start recalling memories, we'll say to each other, like, how did we do all that? But at the same time, I know that Tim would never trade those memories for another box of old trophies sitting in the crawl space. There's no comparison and no regrets. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Thanks, Carol. Now I'd like to introduce Josh to you. Come on up, Josh. Josh has been married to his wife, Sarah, for 10 years. They have four amazing kids from the age of 14 through to 5. 15 to 5, sorry. 50. I get it wrong every time. I've got my notes, but I'm not, you know. Anyway, from 15 to 5. And you've been kicking around Living Waters for about 11 years. Yeah, so good to have you.
Thank you. I was about to say good morning, but I guess it's good afternoon. It's an honor to be here today. Joanne sent me an email a couple weeks ago and asked me if I would share a bit about my story. And I love Story Sunday. As Joanne said, I've been here for 11 years. It's always inspired me, and I hope this will encourage you on a day, whatever you're going through. I'm here to talk to you about my dad, but also how my dad's legacy affected me and my children, and how I am with them. I was blessed to be born into a Christian household, first generation to be born into a Christian household. I don't really have the words to express truly how amazing it is to have parents who love God with all their heart. I was a pew baby. I was literally born on the front pew at Connaught Heights. And that's where I lived and grew. And yeah, it's just amazing. My dad, though, was my everything. He, to me, was that kid as a young age that taught me every sport. A little bit of a sports theme connected here on this one. And my dad had a passion for life. He taught me how to lose because we're Canuck fans. And I thought that would, yeah. It's true. It's just true. 2011, ouch. But to me, my dad was so much more than just a father. He was a coach. He was a friend. He was a shoulder to cry on, an ear to listen. He was my sounding board and my solid rock that God had blessed me with to go to for everything. And he was my security guard. At a young age, I struggled in school and was considered dumb, stupid, and wasn't going to amount to much in life. That was what I was told. My teacher said that to me. They told my parents that. They were just going to continue to push him along to the next class. And then by the grace of God, in grade 5, I was diagnosed with dyslexia. Not dumb, just uniquely learning. School was a struggle. My dad went, see, it's a gift. You don't learn like the rest of the world. And it was such a blessing to have that in my life, to have somebody there to just pull me up when I needed it. And he was always there with my crazy dreams. For any of you who know me, I have dreams. I dream all the time. I tell people, and my wife rolls her eyes all the time. She's like, you probably think you're crazy. But my dad was there to support every single one. He supported my biggest dream. At the age of 16, I had a dream and a passion to play pro football. Yes, the physique is a pro football of a physique. I can tell. It's not. But my dad, loving as he was, continued to encourage me in that. From the age of 16 on, I pursued my dream and passion of being a professional football kicker. Emphasis on the kicker, don't have to hit anybody. And by the grace of God, in 2001, my dream came true. I was drafted number 1 overall in the international player draft in the Arena Football League. I played 5 years in the Arena League and was on the brink of an opportunity in the NFL when I had a career-ending knee injury. And in a moment, everything I had been doing, everything that my life had been defined by as late teens, early 20s, was gone. I had nothing. I felt hopeless. And there comes Dad again, over there, picks me up when I'm broken. And he goes, you know what? It's okay. I'll continue to support you no matter what you dream. But remember this, that God doesn't just close a door without opening another one. And little did I know that next dream or door opening was going to be a beautiful woman. My best friend, who had a little boy who was 2 years old. And when I found that out, it scared me. And then my dad, usually really supportive in this time, was trying to be supportive, but goes, are you ready for that? You're not mature enough for that. Thanks, Dad. Really appreciate that. We had a bit of banter about it, and I looked him right in the eyes, and I go, you know what? She's the one. And you know what I know is that you have brought me up to be the young man I am today. Because of that, I know I'll be a good father. And I'm blessed to have you, and I know God will guide me in my foolish wisdom, lack of it, and he'll give me more of it. It's amazing. And the next thing he says to me, he goes, read this. And he gives me a little thing, and it's Jeremiah 21:11. And it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to give you hope and a future. And it was so true. My hope was, and my new future was becoming the next phase of my life. Sarah and I hung out for about half a year until we kind of introduced Braden into our dating life. It's kind of weird dating and having a kid in your life, but you just kind of just go with it. We did that to make sure that we were right with where we were trying to go in life. Fast forward a year, I'm in Florida picking up a truck that I had purchased for myself, and I was slowly making my way home when I get a call from my mom. Hey, just heads up, not a big deal. But your dad's in the hospital. I'm like, oh, man, what do you do now? Break his leg, something. He's having breathing problems. I'm like, okay, but nothing to worry about. Keep doing your trip. You don't need to fly home. Perfect. So she kept me updated through the trip. And then I got to Portland, and I got a phone call. Sorry. And this time it wasn't my mom. It was my dad. He goes, hey, bud, I'm getting out of the hospital tomorrow. I'm like, sweet, so good. So good. But there's something I need to tell you. And he said, are you still driving? I said, no, I pulled over. I've got stage 4 lung cancer. And in that moment, my body went numb. I don't remember anything for the rest of the drive until I got to St. Paul's Hospital. All I remember is sitting there with my wife and my son-to-be, and my mom and my dad at the hospital, and yeah, that's all I remember. I don't remember the rest of the drive home. The next day I picked my dad up, went to Spanish Banks, and we cried, and we laughed, and we joked. And then I told him the most exciting thing in my life, outside of accepting Jesus into my life, and I said, "Dad, I'm going to ask Sarah to marry me. I cannot wait to be a father to Braden." And that's not an easy thing to do. But I made a commitment that day when I told my dad that I was going to do it. So on March 8, 2009, I asked my best friend to marry me. And I didn't just ask my best friend to marry me, but I also made the commitment to be Braden's dad. And that was the beginning of me learning how to become a father, which I'm still working on today. My dad passed away exactly a month later from the day I proposed to Sarah. He went to be with the Lord, and he's whole. And the one thing that I'll never forget is on April 7th, the day before, I said to him, I go, "Dad, I love you. And it's okay, you can go now. I'll take care of Mom. I love you." And those are my last words to him. Sarah and I were married 3 months later, which was really tough. So before that, we had to plan a celebration of life. The celebration of life helped me heal. I was angry. I hated God in that moment. I said, "God, you've now taken two things that I love away from me. Why?" That celebration of life opened up my eyes to the impact my dad had on so many people above and beyond what he has done for me. Since then, I've been blessed with three more beautiful children. The other three are, I'm forgetting, 9, 7, and 5. I've got 2 boys, 2 girls. I have my oldest who's now pursuing his dreams at 15. And it's so exciting as a dad to now be that coach, that mentor, that shoulder to cry on. And he's now pursuing his dream of wanting to be a professional football player, which I had nothing to do with. You laugh, but it's true. You ask my wife for years, I was like, I don't want him getting hurt. And then the second thing was, he never wanted to be a kicker. He didn't think it was a cool enough position. Needless to say, this last season he started kicking, so I guess the joke's on him. But, you know, my dad's legacy lives through my children. My children are a blessing. I look at them and I see a lot of the good, and then a few of the not so good traits. We're a very competitive family. If anybody knows us, we're very competitive. But there's always love. But I am now that cheerleader for each one of them. I'm that sounding board. I'm that guy who's going to get down and dirty with them. And most importantly, I'm just dad, there to be with them. And this is a verse my parents lived by as I was growing up and my sister were growing up. And it's Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the ways they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it." And that is my prayer for every parent, not just father today in this room, that that would be your heart's prayer, knowing that they're rooted in that, and I'm a testimony of that. So thank you.
Thanks, Josh. And now I'm going to introduce Sue to you. Sue raised 2 men as a single mom, 2 great men. And so I'm going to let her share about that. She's the mother of the grandmother to 6 grandchildren as well, and 2 wonderful daughters-in-law. So I'm going to let you tell the story because I don't want to take it from you.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day. This is a day not only to celebrate great fathers, stepfathers, uncles, grandfathers, and fathers-in-law in our lives, but also to celebrate our awesome Father in heaven. My name is Sue. Yeah, that's Sue from Mother's Day. And I was privileged to raise 2 handsome and amazing sons, Jake and Ken, as a single parent. I always called them my earthly treasures. Psalm 127:3 says, "Children are a gift from God." Now I also get to treasure their lovely wives, and 6 awesome children. Woohoo for Team Brayden. Before I tell you about my sons as fathers, you need to know a bit of our history. Though I knew about God as I was growing up, it wasn't until I was 34 that I accepted Jesus personally. When Jake was born, I was determined that he would know about God and not get involved in the occult as I and his father had been. God, in his wisdom and mercy, saw fit to remove the boy's father from our lives, and he has not allowed his return, causing us to dwell in his peace, far from fear and abuse. We were divorced in May 1981, just 3 months before our second son, Kenny, was born. 2 days before my water baptism, I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. At the time, we were under extreme spiritual attack. We were all ill with bronchitis. The boys were struggling to breathe while wild noises crashed around outside our house. I remember standing in the doorway to their bedroom and praying, "Oh God, please help us." Then I felt a wonderful warmth come over me, and great wings folded around me. I heard God say to me in an audible voice, "Fear not, for lo, I am always with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you, even unto the end of the age." Instantly, the boys and I were healed, the noises outside ceased, and great peace filled our home. Psalm 91:4 says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." What did I know from this? Well, God was in our corner for sure. And nothing would get to us without passing him first. We were safe. Wow, what a promise. I knew from that day forward, their whole beings were held in God's hands. A while later, God spoke to me again from Isaiah 54, saying, "Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed. You will forget the reproach of your widowhood. Your maker is your husband, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. My kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. Your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be their peace. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn." More wonderful promises on which to stand. When Jake accepted Jesus at the age of 3 and Ken at the age of 5, my spirit witnessed the truth of their conversions. God knew the challenges they would face and protected them from such early ages. The Lord gifted Jake with discernment, particularly of scripture, and wisdom to understand things far beyond his age. He enjoyed answering the rhetorical questions which the pastor would often include in his sermons, sometimes asking his own questions in return. Even as a small child, Ken showed his gifting in prophecy, words of knowledge, and music. Throughout their years growing into adulthood, God was always there. As a husband and father would, he provided for us, sometimes in miraculous ways. One Christmas, I had to start on disability because I had lost my voice. We only had enough food to get to Christmas Eve and no money to buy presents. So once again, I prayed, "Please, God, help us." On Christmas Eve morning, there arrived on our doorstep a whole Christmas feast with all the trimmings, including goodies for the boys' stockings. There was also enough food to last right through until New Year's, when my first paycheck would arrive. Later that day, the very gifts which the boys desired, a road racing set and a set each of G.I. Joe, arrived. I had secretly prayed for these things, but told no one. what rejoicing filled our house. The Lord continues to heal us both physically and emotionally. He completely healed Jake from meningitis when the other children on his ward were dying or being disabled. He healed Ken miraculously from a violent reaction to a wasp sting as soon as we asked, popping the stinger out of his hand and immediately stopping the swelling and pain right before our eyes. Without a flesh and blood father, God provided other Christian men for my sons, fathers in our neighborhood who involved them in street hockey with their own sons, taught them to chop wood and store it for winter, took them exploring along the ocean marshes, and demonstrated Christian love by voluntarily replacing the roof of our house, which I didn't even know needed replacing. The boys also had examples in their uncle who shared their interests in video games and art, cousins who shared interests in movies and music, and a grandfather who taught them to fish and golf. It was hard for them growing up with the father they imagined, and they would sometimes express their doubts about whether or not they'd be good fathers. All I could do was encourage them and pray. Today, they are kind, loving fathers who live out their unconditional love for their children and wives with respect and fairness. The Lord led them with his truth and directed their path. There were difficulties along the way, of course. Sorry. But he was right there beside us, walking with us through them. I have no doubt that Jake and Ken know they were loved by me and my family, but most importantly, by God. They are both intelligent, creative, gifted men with a good sense of themselves and a heart to please God. They count their blessings. They listen and follow the example set for them by people that God has brought into their lives. They are open and solid in their faith and share with others in many ways as they feel led. And so the kingdom grows. Jake and Kenny exhibit their love for God through the ways they treat me, each other, and their families. They know to the core of their beings that they were gifts to each other from God. James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, and they regularly demonstrate their love for each other. God knew that they each needed the camaraderie, love, and backup of a brother. Delivered from the occult, we know the importance of spiritual warfare. Covering prayers were part of our regular routine every morning before we left for school and every night before bed. Thankfully, both Jake and Ken continue in this practice and regularly fill their homes with praise music. When accidents happen to their children, their first response is to comfort in love and pray aloud for God's help. They trust God and know that they can count on him. Operating in their gifts from the Holy Spirit and seeking more depth in their relationships with the Lord, Jake and Ken listen to wisdom. It is a delight to see them growing in their faith. I am grateful that they follow the way that God wants them to go. I am grateful, too, for their loving, supportive wives with whom they share and grow in their faith. Discipline was never much of an issue with either of my sons. They were smart enough to recognize when they were chastised by their spiritual father. I always tried to ask them what to do when they did my best. Did I fail? Sure, often. Do Jake and Kenny fail? Of course. There can be no victory without failure, right? But our saving grace is that we know where our help comes from and lift up our eyes and seek him. Jake and Kenny know, love, and serve Jesus. He is their maker and their redeemer. They, their wives, and their children are taught by the Lord. His righteousness is established in their lives. His covenant of peace and safety will never be removed, and no weapon formed against them will ever prosper. So when Joanne asked me to speak to you today about how I feel seeing my sons as the great fathers they are, having raised them as a single mama, I can only say, thank you, God. Hallelujah. God keeps his promises.
Story Sunday. They're so good. Thank you, Carol, Josh, and Sue, for sharing with beautiful authenticity and helping us be reminded today that God is good. And how encouraging it is to, again, be reminded today that the God that's been good to them is the God that's being good to us, right? And we can take such hope and confidence in that. There's a verse in James that's been referred to this morning, and it says this: don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters, for every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting sands or shifting shadows. Perhaps this would be a good day for all of us to remind ourselves what God has given us and what those good and perfect gifts are and how they've come to us. Because in some way, God's brought us all along. And here we find ourselves today. And y'all look pretty good today. So there's good days ahead. Can we stand together as we close in prayer? God, how good you are. We thank you for the ability you give us through your word, through the narratives that we see in others' lives, to regularly find ourselves in a place of thanksgiving. You're a good father, and you have gifted us with so many things. And we say thank you for what we have today. We say thank you. We ask you to continue to parent us, regardless of our age, that you would move us along, as a good parent does, towards love and good deeds, and to healthy places and healthy spaces. May this day be remembered because of the good reminders and the way you have taken these simple moments to establish your good work within our hearts and our minds today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming to Living Waters today. And I want to remind the dads on the way out, there's a dad's root beer, and it's actually a twist cap, so you can drink it on your way to the car. So enjoy.